Shows off his new abilities in the long-awaited Zelda Tears of the Kingdom gameplay reveal, beloved TMNT graphic novel The Last Ronin is becoming a God of War-style video game, and Microsoft is ending its $1 Game Pass trial offer. All this and more on this week's episode of Checkpoint. And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show bringing you important news and break down the biggest stories in the gaming industry. I'm one of your hosts, James Jim James Walmer, with the spiciest meatball in gaming, Vincent DeSantis. Thank you to our audio listeners. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Please hit us with a rating on audio platforms and subscribe. Helps us out a lot. Vincent, what else is going on the channel?
This weekend, Ryder and I went to WonderCon. And yeah, we're able to get press badges for Strictly Casual. So it says Strictly Casual in our name. And we got to interview a couple of composers and voice actors that were doing a music in film and TV panel. And so we got to interview the Duke from Resident Evil Village, which was awesome. He was our best. Whoa. He was the best interview. And so that should be coming out pretty soon. We also interviewed a couple of people that worked on the show Primal, which is from Samurai Jack. They're Samurai Jack's creators. They're doing a new show called Primal.
Yes. I remember that show.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was fun. So keep a lookout for those. Those should be on the channel soon. And then we're probably going to chop them up into TikToks because that's where it's at anyways. So
yeah. How are shorts doing?
We haven't posted any in a little while. So yeah.
Okay.
We got to get back on that.
All right.
It's fun. All right, y'all.
Let's get into our first story.
Send it.
How do you want to chop these up?
I want you to take this.
Okay. Beloved TMNT graphic novel The Last Ronin is becoming a video game. This comes from Polygon. Like the comic, The Last Ronin video game adaptation will be a darker, more mature take on the typically colorful Ninja Turtles. According to Doug Rosen, Senior Vice President for Games and Emerging Media at Paramount Global, the rights holders for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, in an interview with Polygon last week, Rosen likened the upcoming third-person action role-playing game to Sony's recent God of War titles and said it'll be authentic to the story of the Last Ronin arc, which is set in a future where only one of the turtles has survived. While other TMNT games like Shredder's Revenge are typically about playing as all four turtles and sometimes their allies Splinter, April O'Neil, and Casey Jones, The Last Ronin will be primarily a single-character game. Though Rosen posited that other characters could be playable in flashback sequences similar to how the comic series plays out, the primary action is said to center on the only surviving turtle. The identity of that lone remaining turtle was something of a mystery when the Last Ronin comic series was announced. The arc story was built around a ninja turtle who wore a black mask and fought using all four turtles' signature weapons, nunchaku, sai, bow staff, and dual katanas. It wasn't until the final pages of the first issue of The Last Ronin where the lone surviving turtle's identity was revealed, to which we've left a surprise.
I had it in there, but I took it out because I feel like that's going to be a cool moment in the game. So, like, I don't know. If you want to keep that a surprise, I don't want to say it.
I didn't look at it, so cool. I still don't know.
Great.
The remaining turtles and Master Splinter have all been exterminated by the Foot Clan, leading Mike to seek justice for their deaths in about...
What?
Leading Mike to seek justice for their
death. Ah, dang. Sorry, y'all. Hey, there it is. F. Hate to see it. I only deleted one of the names.
To seek justice for their deaths in a battle. I mean, an unknown turtle.
Yes.
To seek one of justice the for their deaths in a battle ravaged New York City. Like the Last Ronin comic book series, the video game will target an older audience. The Last Ronin video game adaptation is being developed by an unnamed studio and is likely a few years off from release, Ronin said.
Yeah.
Vincent, I imagine a Ghost of Tsushima stance system almost going down where you're rapidly switching between four weapons, maybe between different enemy types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking movement. Movement's going to be big in this because the turtles, they jump around, they get around, they do their thing. So
especially Mikey.
Right. I can imagine this being...
I mean, especially how random turtles.
Yeah. The director or whatever this, Doug Rosen, the Senior Vice President for Games and Emerging Media, Paramount Global. he likens it to God of War. So I'm assuming the story's right. It's an interesting comparison that games go, oh, it's like God of War, right? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It's a third person.
It means
it's going to be a third person action adventure game.
Single player.
With a story.
Like, with the story, it's going to be mostly on the rails with like little options for exploration.
Yeah. It's interesting that has become the thing to compare your game to. I guess it makes sense. It's really good. It's the best.
Yeah. It's the best. Yeah.
I understand.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? It's going to be the most like, you know, equating or likening your game to a successful title is just what these companies are going
to
do.
And I think that they're also using this comparison to set expectations about tone and stuff. Because right now we have like the Shredder's Revenge coming out, which is like the arcadey, lighthearted, like beat 'em up game. And he's like, oh, the tone of this is going to be much more adult, like the comic book, which I think is super interesting. I don't think we see that in a lot of like Ninja Turtles media in general, I guess.
Visual media.
So I'm excited for this, dude. I'm really excited for this, and it makes me want to pick up the comic book.
Yeah.
A lot. So stoked for this. Any other, what's like a wish list for you? What do you want to see in a Ninja Turtle game?
Oh, I want to see swears.
You want to see these turtles swearing it up?
Yeah.
Just cussing up and down New
York. I don't know
why
that's like the indicative, like mature thing for me. Just like, just let them say fuck. Give them an F-bomb.
Sure.
And it might feel weird, though. It might feel like out of character for Mikey.
When I think about this game, I think about an eternal nighttime, like a Gotham City type of thing where it's like, it's never going to be daytime.
It's not going to be daytime.
No. Anyway. I'm super stoked for this. This sounds great. It sounds a lot of fun. We'll see when like footage comes out in a year.
I think it's going to be a lot faster than God of War because of that movement.
It's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be. I'm thinking maybe a pull back camera a little more to give the character more room on screen to move around.
Do you think, my guess is that they take the combat approach. I think Ghost of Tsushima is a good example where you kind of snap onto targets, but it's still slow enough where you can be precise with things.
I haven't played Ghost of Tsushima, but.
Okay. Well, because like in Arkham games, you snap very fast and you're spamming square as many times as you can until there's that triangle pop up, you know, to like click.
Right.
I imagine this will be on the faster side, like of Ghost of Tsushima, but not that fast if you're using all four of these weapons and you're probably going to be switching between them during fights and stuff.
Do you think it's going to be as simple as different weapon types counter different types of enemies?
I think that would be a great way to introduce the weapons and then like maybe early game, but I don't know. That's a game design thing where it's, you have to make it obvious to, cause I know what you want to do. You want to take one and you want to stat one out and use it the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Cause that's always my fear with like multiple like weapons and multiple, like we talked about this with Jedi Fallen Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, my perception of how Ghost of Tsushima works is different stances are for different enemy types.
Yeah, you can use the stances for all of them, but they're just straight up weaker. They're they don't break.
Exactly.
Like, you have to use the shield break
stance.
That's
my sphere.
Yeah.
It's because, I don't know.
The difference between Ghost of Tsushima and this is, like, a stance is the same weapon. You're just literally swinging it differently, I guess, so it feels cohesive as one, whereas this would be a completely different moveset, let's say, for each weapon.
Okay.
You know, I think it's also interesting that we bring up Ghost of Tsushima so much. I think it's a great game. It's funny that we compare it. Like that's
to be another example, right?
Yeah.
I just can't think of one.
Yeah, it feels right. That feels like a right comparison to me. Mm-hmm. I guess the samurai.
I think
aspect
like
of
maybe
it too.
I feel like God of War is less like going to the comparison that Doug Rosen uses. God of War weapons feel like preference a little bit. Like there are a few enemies where it's obvious, but to use one or the other. But for the most part, it's kind of preference. You can use whatever you'd like. If you're more drawn to the Blades of Chaos, you can use those more frequently. If you're drawn to just fists, you can use those, and there are rewards for that.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you want to go into that very block breaking stun, heavy stun builds, I guess you can do that, but.
James, you got to keep playing God of War.
I know. I dropped it and I need to pick it back up. I literally got through I got through the spot that everyone said was
the slow
the,
part.
The slog, the slow part, and then I dropped it right after.
Oh, it's so good. It's a great game. Great game. Moving on to the next story. We have... Oh, it's clip time. Oh, clip time. Here we go.
Clip time.
Okay. Here we go. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom will have a massive, massive sandbox. We got a brand new gameplay, basically 10-minute presentation that shows off all of Link's new abilities, which is super, super exciting. James, tell me a little bit about what we got.
All right, so Link sports a new-looking Sheikah slate in The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and it comes with a new set of abilities they can use to craft weapons, ride rocks in the sky, and even build vehicles.
Yo, but I want to say, does he even have the Sheikah slate? I didn't even see it. I just saw his arm.
I didn't see it either. I think it's like built into his arm.
Which is so much cooler. Let's face it, so much cooler.
I don't know. I think, yeah, it's cool.
It's awesome. It's so cool.
You're right. It's a lot cooler. So the first one's recall. So Link uses the recall ability on a rock that fell off a sky island, making it shoot back into the sky like an elevator. Link can stand on the rock as it goes back up into the sky or up to the sky island, using it as a vantage point to jump off and glide to a sky. Okay, to a sky island. It does appear that we're rewinding time a bit, making the rock retrace its steps. We're not sure what the limits of recall are. It looks like there's a timer to it. Can we recall enemies, trees that we just knocked down? Well, there are tons of, like, if you cut down a tree, if you recall that, is it going to, like, put it back on its stump and, like, reform it? We don't know. It looks like there's sort of timer on it. Like, it can only go so far back in time. Maybe that timer is upgraded as, like, the more, I don't know, maybe the more points. I don't know how that is going to work, but maybe you spec into that and it, you know, you can do it for a greater length of time, or maybe it scales to different objects. Maybe, like, for example, in Tears of the Kingdom, or sorry, in Breath of the Wild, you could
get the plus.
Freeze. You could freeze. Oh, yeah. You could get the plus, but you could freeze an object in time for much longer than an enemy, especially with larger enemies.
Right.
Like, if you try to freeze a lion or Leon, whatever they're called, you could only do it for like a split second.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a rock, you can do for about like 6 seconds.
Right. Yeah, it's like a, if it's an inanimate object, it's less likely to break. But if it moves, I mean, recall sounds, this sounds really interesting in the world that we're in Tears of the Kingdom, where there might be things in the sky that we haven't seen in the on the ground yet, like let's say in Breath of the Wild. Like, I feel like there's gonna be a lot more uses than just what they've shown. We've only seen the one use of recall, and that's, oh, something fell from the sky, let's bring it back up to the sky, right? Which is exciting to me.
I bet there will be like parts of discoverability where it'll be like you'll see a rock tumbling down from somewhere and you're like, I don't know where this is coming from. So you recall it to trace its steps.
I love that.
Essentially to go back to something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll see something like moving in a particular direction and be like, oh, like where is this coming from? Or like, what are the, you know, so you have to recall it.
Can you imagine recalling an enemy? You take a giant hit and you're able to recall it like 30 seconds, get that life back or something like that. That'd be crazy. I mean, I know it doesn't affect you, but that would be so fun for like a combat perspective. Could be awesome.
I don't know, like how would...
Like maybe
if you could like right before the parry point where you could just like keep parrying it over and over again.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. I'm sure someone will do something like that. The next one we got is the Fuse ability, which is the one I am most excited about out of all of these. And so basically using the Fuse ability, you can combine weapons, shields, and arrows with inanimate objects to create a specialized weapon. These weapons appear to be sturdier, and some of them have unique abilities. That said, there are likely hundreds of combinations in the game to try out, and fusing together new weapons will be an important part of the game.
This, I love this.
This has so many great things about it. Tell me what you love about it.
Yeah. I love it because this is probably the biggest point. It gives a purpose to all the random shit that we pick up.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I can't tell you how many like little craftable materials that I had in Breath of the Wild that I just never used.
Yep.
And granted, they had a lot of them had purposes like potions or like food, things like that. But I love the idea of being able to like put them with things that are not just that like allotted use and being able to use that for combat in ways that I think are more usable to me as a player. I think this also really alleviates a lot of the issues people had with weapon degradation. It adds durability. It allows people to like actually use this huge, like probably like 30 item inventory of weapons and things like that, combine them together.
Yeah.
It allows you to be creative with objects in the world. I imagine like, the mass sword trials, right? Where you didn't have anything going into it, you don't have any weapons. So I can see like you having to create weapons in your environment to really like, you know, epitomize the best tool for the job or the best weapon for the enemy or so on and so forth. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that excites me the most is as someone that probably erred on the side of not liking the weapon degradation as much, this is great because I can just get a stick and put a rock on it. I can get a branch and, I don't know, do anything. We saw a stick on a pitchfork for, like, there's so many stick options. Stick on a stick. Can you use three things?
Exactly. Come on.
Maybe that's the upgrade.
Why am I imagining the Expo marker sword? Like, in grade school?
It just excites me that beyond the things in Breath of the Wild that we can already do that is extremely sandboxy, this seems like it ups it like times 10. It's giving us the option to do anything with these abilities, which is super exciting. What's the third one we have here?
The third one here, sorry, I'm fucking with my lighting. Third one is Ultra Hand. The Ultra Hand ability is different from the fuse ability. Rather than combining things together, you're kind of gluing them together. By sticking objects together in specific ways, you can create vehicles, whether it's a boat, car, plane. Using Ultra Hand will certainly help you travel around Hyrule. I know a lot of people are really excited for this. Not pour moi. I understand it's like use. I'm excited for like to get creative in that way. Just not my initial thing. Very like I'm thinking Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Mm-hmm. Like going through, not having like the sort of like plane where you're like putting parts together, but you're like getting creative.
Yeah.
Like finding parts in the environment that'll like kind of lend itself to, you know, having a creative way to traverse the world. I saw like in the trailer they had a raft, but it had like turbines on the ends.
And fans.
You can like use it to go up and have like a little hovercraft.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. You know.
In the trailer that we got for Tears of the Kingdom, we saw this giant like land vehicle, you know, it's kind of going across. And I was like, oh, kind of weird, like whatever this is. But the idea that you can build that and that not everybody will have that exact vehicle because, I don't know, somebody just put that together unless it's like a tutorial thing. I don't know. But that's exciting to me that let's say the glider, you don't have enough stamina for your glider and stuff. You can build some sort of air vehicle to get you across a gap with just things around. That's really cool. It's just another way to approach situation that like I would think I already know what to do in that situation, but like, oh, here's another option if you want to do this, or maybe this is the way to do it. So that's cool to me.
The first thought I thought of when I saw this was those kids who were really into Redstone and Minecraft.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Are gonna go fucking wild. I can't wait to see what type of like Voltron like mech suits people are gonna build with like bipedal legs and
100%
like rocket launchers and shit like that.
I am going to create the most basic things that I think are really cool, and then I'm gonna go online and be like, wow, I did not play this game right. I need to go back. Like I need to do something else. Yeah.
I wish there was like some option for like community sharing of
Twitter, baby.
Like these creations. No, I know, but like of like importing these things into your game, but I think that would just be breaking the game.
Yeah, that could be cool though. I like that idea.
I don't know.
We got one final one, and that is Ascend ability. Using Ascend, you no longer need to climb every mountain you see. Waiting for your precious stamina, instead, you can aim at the ceiling of a cave and swim straight through it to get the top to a mountain or top of a mountain. While you likely won't be able to do this for every mountain, it's still a helpful tool that will save you time and stamina. I think this is really awesome. I didn't think about it as a stamina saving tool. I thought about it more of like, I don't know, to get to special like places. An escape
tool.
Yeah, like there's so much verticality in this game. I'm like, oh, maybe you use Ascend. I don't know. Maybe you can use it to get to a sky island at some point, maybe at a high peak or something. But like the idea that it.
Maybe you could build a roof above you.
I love that.
And then use that to quick ascend.
See, you're already breaking it. This is awesome. We're going to get that. Like, imagine one weekend when a lot of things are discovered about this game. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. The first week of the release is going to be the most fun.
Totally.
When everyone is just discovering and finding the next thing around the corner.
Yeah.
And finding, oh, did you know you could actually do this? Like, this physics system actually works like as it would, you know, in real life. Or did you know you could actually burn this thing? And then it turns into this, and then you can use that to do this.
Yeah, it's again going to be a huge sandbox, like bigger than the first game sandbox.
And that was my biggest concern with this game, is because there was so much of that in Breath of the Wild that I'm like, I have no idea how they're going to top that.
Sure.
This time around, I have no clue how they're going to put, like, iterate this in a way that actually feels meaningful. And like, they really might do it.
So,
and these are like not just all of the new abilities. Like, there's still more.
Really? There's more than these four?
I think
yeah,
so.
My
that's what it felt like to me.
Big question is
the presentation.
The Sheikah Slate abilities, you know, like the bomb and the time freeze, like things like that. Are those still in the game or no? I'm assuming not.
Oh, I assume they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's very exciting. I just jumped back into Breath of the Wild this weekend because I never defeated Ganon. I did all four Divine Beasts and I just dick around for hours and hours and hours and I never get to the boss. Yeah. So I'm finally going to do that this weekend. That's my goal.
Cool. I mean, the game does end after you defeat Ganon and you just rewind.
But, right. You know. But I feel like I need to complete it to, you know, just to say it. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. If you want to know more about Tears of the Kingdom, you can stay right here at Strictly Casual. If you want to listen to this entire episode, you can go on any podcast platform and type in Strictly Casual Checkpoint. It's a little blue box. It says Checkpoint right there. This is episode 155 from Strictly Casual. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Peace out. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
One last story, James.
Let's do it. Microsoft says it has stopped its Game Pass $1 trial offer. This comes from The Verge. Microsoft has stopped its $1 trial offer for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass. The trial has been available for years with brief periods where it wasn't always available in certain markets, and now it looks like Microsoft is considering new promotions instead. Quote, "We have stopped our previous introductory offer for Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass and are evaluating different marketing promotions for new members in the future," says Kari Perez, head of global communications at Xbox, in a statement to The Verge. The $1 trial has allowed people to sign up to Game Pass for a month before the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription kicks in at $14.99 per month or $9.99 a month for PC or console-only subscriptions. It's been a great way to recommend the service to a friend or family member, but we'll now have to wait to see where these different marketing promotions are for new members. Microsoft has also been working on its Friends and Family plan for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. The plan lets you share Xbox Game Pass Ultimate benefits with up to four other friends or family members. Pricing in Ireland is set at £21.99.
I don't know what currency they use.
I think it's euros.
Okay.
That's euros. Euros per month, nearly $24, working out to less than $5 per person. While it sucks that the $1 introductory tier is gone.
Meaning like I just wrote this, not part of the article. I'm just saying that the $1 introductory sucks that it's gone, but I would love to hop on a family plan. Like, if that's what it's for, if that's the trade-off, I would take that trade-off.
Happily. Absolutely.
Because the $1 tiers for a month, but I'd love to pay $5 a month for a Game Pass. Sounds much better than 10.
Much better.
Yeah.
I'm so bright.
I think this is interesting because I think Xbox Game Pass, their numbers might be elevated because of this $1 tier, or do you think that the numbers that they collect don't include the $1 Game Pass tier trial?
I think the numbers they include definitely include the $1 tier.
Do you think the reports that we get are going to have lower numbers in general because of this? I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah, but not if they implement a family plan. If the family plan was enacted, would it count individual users or just like the one overall plan?
That's a great question. I feel like they would try would to do report, all the users.
Which would make the most sense from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
And a reporting perspective, because then it's tracking actual like users instead of,
it's gonna be different accounts, right?
But I guess it doesn't matter.
I think it matters. Because you imagine, like, let's say Strictly Casual has a family plan. It's you, me, Ryder, maybe, I don't know, whoever else on it. That is four people versus, like, that is happening all around the world, right? They're not just going to take the one account and be like, oh, we have 100,000 people.
At the end of the day, it's 24.
500,000 people on our service. But they want the big number just to
pick it up. Yeah, I guess like in terms from a like advertising like actual users, it does make sense. But when you're reporting like profit,
oh yeah,
I don't know if it doesn't make sense because it's $24.99
No, when
or
they
sorry, $21.99 or $24, like
when they talk about profit, they'll have to just use the family plan, the one family plan right. thing. But when they talk about users, they'll break it up as small as could possibly
you have
go.
To.
Yeah, just to look good. But yeah, super interesting. And Game Pass, they've been adding some great games along with PlayStation recently too. PlayStation Plus's Games of the Month also just got released. It's Meet Your Maker, which is the base building game where you build a base and then run through it. Meet Your Maker.
Okay. I remember that.
You build a base and then it's like a first person type of thing where you run through someone else's base. Like Mario Maker, but first person with action, I would say.
Yeah.
And then it's Sackboy, the new Sackboy, which is kind of cool. And that can be played in co-op, which is great. And then another game I've never heard of. Something Tales about Iron. Tales of Iron. Something like that.
Never heard of it.
Also, little PSA before we go into what we're playing is that Steam is ending support on Windows 7 and 8. So if you're on Windows 7 and 8, you're no longer going to be able to play your Steam games pretty soon. Just throwing it out. Throwing it out there.
There's also a PlayStation Store sale. Big one. That has Lightfall on sale.
How much? Okay, dude. The annual pass plus Lightfall is $50, which is 60.
30 for each.
Oh, that's great. That's $30 off what it originally was. I would have bought that hands down. It's only that's like Lightfall in one season instead of Lightfall in four seasons. Plus exotic guns and an exotic quest that's limited that I don't have. RIP. But James, speaking of games, what are you playing?
Ooh-wee. Dude, I've been playing a lot of golf with friends.
I love it. I love it.
So fun. So much fun. Just being able to jump in to like play a few holes, little 18 holes with your friends. And
yeah.
It's so fun to get little hats, get little boats. Just go through these really wacky, zany levels.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's great.
Great time. I had a crisis this week. Not a crisis.
Okay, tell me about it.
But I didn't know what to play. Like, I was really getting the Diablo 4 hype. It was just all around me. It was circling me.
You play this weekend?
Going through. I didn't play, but saw everyone else playing, and I was excited for it. So I'm like, and I'm like, I want to play Diablo.
Yeah.
But I asked my friends, and they were like, we don't want to play Diablo. I'm like, fuck.
Okay. Like, in general, they just don't want to play it?
In general, they don't want to play it.
Not even two or three with you right now?
No.
Okay.
None of it. But I like Diablo. So I'm looking for this RPG, this like multiplayer RPG itch.
Oh, let me tell you about a small little tiny game that I've sucked my life into a black hole.
That's when I texted you. I said, hey, look at this sale going on.
Oh my God. It's...
I saw $29.99 for Destiny 2 expansion pass and $29.99 for the Lightfall.
It's been 1 month and I've put 60 something hours into Lightfall. I haven't done the raid yet. I haven't even done the raid.
Well,
just having a fantastic time. Iron Banner feels good. I'm playing the Trials of Osiris, like the competitive PvP also. Tons of fun. Loving it.
Well,
highly recommend.
Played that, jumped into Elden Ring again.
Nice, yeah. Any changes there? I feel like it's always an up down when you play Elden Ring.
It is an up down. I've had moments of like, yeah, this is really fun. And then I've had moments of I have to do all of this again.
You need a new game to rock your world, truly.
I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the next dragon to chase.
Yeah. And I thought it was gonna be Monster Hunter for a little while for you. Monster Hunter Rise. You just gave me the face of ick, James. The face of ick.
It's just... This is what I... this is what I was telling my homies. I said, I want a game that's more like... Because they said, yeah, that's an RPG. Like, we could play it together and, like, run hunts. And I said, I just want to run some, like, quests. Like, I want an RPG-ass RPG right now. Like, I want to do the quests, like, do the whole storyline thing and do the... you know, and I want a combat system that I could like invest into and have like fun skills and abilities. Because they said, you know what they said? I said, I want like a dungeon crawler. Like I want to go through dungeons and like get loot.
You want Diablo. Yeah.
I want fucking Diablo.
Yeah. You play Dark and Darker? Did you see that? Have you played that? It's pretty interesting. I think they delisted it from Steam before it comes out because it was just in the long beta, but it's about to have its full release.
Oh my god, there was a DMCA takedown.
Yeah.
I saw my friends were playing it for a little bit, yeah.
It's really fun. It's really hard. I've never won, but it's really, really fun. Or never had a successful extraction.
They delisted it from Steam.
I'm sure it'll be back. It's hugely popular. I'm sure it'll just have like a name change or whatever they need to change that has the takedown. But I mean, that's not really what you're looking for, but it is the dungeon crawler. Like it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I want that dungeon crawler hack and slashy.
Well, we're there, dude. Diablo is coming. It's coming soon.
Coming so fast.
And you gotta hold on for that, because other than that, you just gotta jump into Final Fantasy 14 or something like that. Where you gotta go full MMO. Dude.
No way.
Gotta do it.
I can't go full MMO. I just can't.
I want to talk about Diablo 4 beta a little bit, because this is coming from someone that hasn't only played a little bit of the second game, never played the first or the third game. The opening cinematic was gorgeous, like some of the craziest looking cinematics I've ever seen, and that was just for the beta. It drops you in, and I didn't really know. I think I played the sorcerer class for the beta, which was awesome because I love the ranged attacks and had like, you know, a basic fire spell at first or whatever, and then a little area of effect lightning spell, and it was so much fun, and I loved playing it on my controller. I thought I was gonna like it better like mouse and key, but I think the problem with mouse and key for these games is clicking around to bring my character to those places. I never feel like I can dodge correctly or like get away from an attack. I always feel like I'm running at them and I just continue to go at them and I'm clicking away but still trying to attack and I miss attacks and stuff.
Yeah,
I know that's dumb because I'm sure if I played any more than a couple hours of it that I would just start to learn, but it felt great on controller being able to move my character with the stick and then still attack. I felt totally in control and it felt like good. I don't know how to explain it, but you know when you just play a game and you're like, wow, this feels tight, like everything that I'm doing feels like when you shoot something it feels good, when it hits something it feels good, right? And that's how this game felt.
Yeah.
It rocked. I cannot wait. I only played like an hour or 2 hours.
I don't know what it is about Diablo, like I can't place it on any specific thing, but like everything just feels so good.
Yeah.
It's the secret sauce. They got it, man.
They do have the secret sauce. I'm very, very excited. That comes out in June, I believe, which is only like 3 months away. So stoked for that. I'll be definitely picking that up. The problem is, it's like 2 life-sucking games back-to-back for me, James. Destiny and then Diablo. Like, what am I going to do?
Can't do it.
But now I got Jedi Survivor in the middle of this that comes out in like 25 days or something like that.
Yeah, I made my wish list for 2023.
Oh, tell me. Let me hear it.
Yeah, let me go through here. Okay, this includes games that are already out. I just haven't picked up yet.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck is it? Hold on.
Somewhere in the lists. Somewhere deep.
You know, it's in one of my conversations with my boys. I'll just go back to that. Here it is. We got Dead Space Remake, RE4 Remake, which is getting 10s.
Yeah.
9s and 10s across the board. Diablo 4, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Hogwarts Legacy is a maybe.
Sure.
Like, maybe a deep sale pick.
I've been playing it.
It's like, yeah, what do you think?
It's good. I feel like it really is good if you're a big Harry Potter fan. Like, because I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, I'm just going over the RPG elements of it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
And it holds up.
It's still engaging. It's still fun. The part that loses me a little bit is the forcing to go to classes and stuff like that. Of like, I don't really know the Harry Potter world, so like, I totally get how that's like some people's fantasy, but I want to go out there and I want to start flying around on my broomstick, and I'm like 7 hours in, I can't get around yet.
Damn.
Yeah.
Moving on. Metroid Prime Remake. Star Wars Jedi Survivor. System Shock Remake.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16. And then we're on to the ones with no release date this year. Hollow Knight Silksong, Marvel Spider-Man 2.
I can't believe Hollow Knight still doesn't have a release date.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. Wow.
Hyperlight Breaker and
Payday 3. Yeah. And what was the last one?
Payday 3.
I didn't even know that was coming out this year.
It's like expected to release this year. It's not for sure. They didn't even give a window. It's just people are thinking.
Yeah, I think that for the next couple months, it'll be Tears of the Kingdom is next month, right? Or May? Something like that?
Tears of the Kingdom is May, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it would be Jedi Survivor's the next game I'm buying, then Zelda, and then Diablo, probably something around there. And then Destiny to fill in the gaps, and I'll be a happy boy, happy camper. Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, that's episode 155.
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for listening. James, any final words?
No.
Amazing. Well, peace out, everybody. Please stay tuned to the channel for those interviews. We're really proud of those. We got to edit them a little bit and put them up. It's a big step for us. Thank you for rocking with us, because without this platform, we would not have been able to get those press badges, which was super, super awesome to walk around with those. So awesome. Love you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you on the next one. Peace out.